answer you to, he'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day.
Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, but he answered and said, I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is written, but she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, then give it to the dogs. It is written, but she said, yea, Lord, for even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. It is written, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it done unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was healed from that hour. Jesus went out from thence and withdrew into the parts of Tyre and Sidon. And he went into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. And behold, a Canaanitish woman came out from those borders and cried, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered her not a word. Faith of our fathers, living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they like them could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows how by kindly word and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
For God is just a prayer away.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel sermon entitled The Greatest Faith. The story of the greatest example of faith begins when Jesus went out into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And a woman came out from those borders and cried, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. However, before she made this pitiful plea to the Lord for mercy, she had to find him first. because Jesus had hidden himself. Mark tells the same story to us when he says, Jesus had entered into a house, and would have no man know it. Sometimes Jesus did hide himself, as in John chapter 12, when the scribes could not believe he was the light of the world, he departed and hid himself from them. Now, in this case, regarding this woman, Jesus had been in a debate with the Pharisees about the silly question of eating bread without washing one's hands. So he goes out to the borders of Tyre and Sidon to get away from it all, and went into a house to hide himself. Then there are other times when God hid himself. In Deuteronomy 31, for example, during the farewell address of Moses, Moses told the people that God said, if they ever turn to other gods and broke his covenant after his death, I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils they have wrought. Ladies and gentlemen, will he not also hide his face today from those who break the new covenant? But then again, we note Mark said in this case, although Jesus did hide himself, he could not be hid. This woman who pled for her daughter vexed with a demon found him. Maybe James, the 4th chapter of the 8th verse, could be applied here. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Actually, Jesus is like the flask of ointment Mary broke and poured on his head when the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. There are many times in life when the aroma of his presence is felt, and we know that Jesus is here, although he cannot be seen. At such times as a celebration of his birth, and concerning the day of his resurrection, people are reminded, Jesus has been here. He cannot be hidden. And the aroma of his presence is certainly evident at the meeting of the saints to observe the feast of the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day. That feast will be observed until the last Sunday before the trumpet sounds, because Jesus said that that feast shows forth his death till he comes. There is always a reminder in various ways. Jesus has been here, and he cannot be hid. So the woman from Tyre and Sidon found Jesus and asked the question concerning a demon that vexed her daughter. Demons are always in business of vexing the human race today, and are just as real as they ever were. It is a tragic mistake to relegate demons to Bible times only. As to their identity, demons, at first, were created as angels by God. We read in Colossians 1:16, for in him were all things created in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Evidently, there is a highly organized invisible world, and we deal with it every day. Like the woman of Tyre and Sidon, we need to pray every day. Have mercy on me, O Lord! I am grievously vexed with a demon. In 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, the 4th verse, the apostle tells us of the fall of the angels who kept not their proper habitation, when he says, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and committed them to pits of darkness. In Hebrews 12:22, there is a reference to an innumerable host of angels. And Revelation 12 tells us and refers to the tail of the great red dragon, dragging one-third of the angels that sin to earth with him. Then it is Paul who refers and warns about our interaction with these demons when he tells us in Ephesians 6, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Considering the overwhelming forces against us, it appears the odds are against us. The vexings of these demons day by day will require special spiritual armor for the spiritual warfare, so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil in his wiles may defeat many when he tells them the Bible is not the inspired word of God. And then he turns around the opposite direction and defeats others by telling them the Bible is the word of God, but so is every other book that claims to be inspired of God. Again, in his wiles, he may defeat some by telling them they are good enough to go to heaven by their own good works. Then he convinces others that they are so evil that even the Lord Jesus Christ could not save them. The devil has a special program of wiles tailored for every person. Left to our own devices, the dragon and his demons can sock every jock, chill every Jill, sack every Jack, cope with every dope. We don't have much of a chance against these demons with super intelligence that vex us every day. Have mercy on me, O Lord, I'm grievously vexed with a demon." Paul further encourages us, however, in 2 Corinthians 10 when he says, "The weapons of our warfare are mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down of imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God." And it is John in his first epistle who assures us, "Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." So it is a good prayer for us to pray every day. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, I'm grievously vexed with a demon." Now we consider the silence of Jesus. The request of the woman from Tyre and Sidon was an understandable request, but the Lord responded to her plea in an unbelievable way. He answered her not a word. It may be surprising to us that Jesus could be silent to such a pitiable plea for mercy. And besides that, the disciples did not help any when they told Jesus, "Send her away, she crieth after us." And then Jesus said, "I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And to such a rebuff, she repeated her request, "Lord, help me." How could Jesus remain silent? The woman must have felt like the words of the psalmist in the 83rd Psalm, verse 1, when he said, "Keep not thy silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Lord." But the woman did not give up when Jesus answered her not a word. She prayed on. When the disciples said, "Send her away," she prayed on. When Jesus said, "I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel," she prayed on. And then when Jesus would tell her it was not fit to give the children's bread to the dogs, she prayed on. The silence of Jesus did not silence the prayers of this Gentile woman from Tyre and Sidon. The silence of Jesus is sometimes devastating to many who have prayed for a wife or a husband, and that wife or that husband dies, and they say, "Where was God?" A loved one sometimes is sick unto death, and prayers are prayed. The loved one dies, and they say, "Where was God?" A faithful Christian is fired from their job. They cannot find work, and they say, "Where was God?" The question, "Where is God?" has a very simple answer. God is in the same place he was when Jesus was hanging on the cross, dying for our sins, and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Heavenly Father was silent, but that doesn't mean he was not there, and it does not mean that he did not care. When God is silent, he is still working behind the scenes in our lives just as much as when he is speaking. Actually, the silence of God is more important than we may think. God was silent for 400 years between the period of the Old and New Testaments. But he was busy all the time during that time working and preparing the world for the arrival of Jesus. Paul tells us in Galatians, the 4th chapter, the 4th verse, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons." And the method of our redemption is set forth by Peter in his first epistle, verse 24, when he said, "Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree." Then again in verses 18 and 19, "We were redeemed not by corruptible things with silver or gold from the vain manner of our lives handed down from the fathers, but with precious blood, as with a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ." Then the same apostle Peter tells us how our redemption is applied when the first gospel sermon was preached on the day of Pentecost. Jesus had died on the cross, been buried in the tomb, raised from the dead, ascended to the Father. Peter preached those facts, and they that believed it were told to repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then, after the last verse in the New Testament, God has been silent for the last 2,000 years. God has not said one word to the human race since the day when the Apostle John wrote that last verse in Revelation, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with his saints." God is silent because he has said everything to the human race he has to say. His message to humanity is complete at the end of the New Testament. However, God will break the silence one day, undisclosed to humanity. Let Paul tell us about it in the last chapter 4, beginning with the 5th verse of 1 Thessalonians. "So hear ye the word of the Lord." This is what Paul says. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that ought be written unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they are saying, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. But, brethren, ye are not in the darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. For we are sons of light and sons of the day. So let us not sleep as the rest, but let us watch and be sober. And Then as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the most unusual part of this unusual story is what this woman said about the truth. When Jesus told her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs, to the Jews, a Gentile was regarded as a dog, and Jesus was using a common term known by all. This seeming insult would have been enough to drive most anyone else away. But the woman from Tyre and Sidon said, truth, Lord, for even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. This woman said, Lord, you told me the truth. I am a dog. Truth, Lord. But I'm not asking for a loaf, Lord. I am only asking for a crumb that falls from your table. That meant that she would have to eat what she received under the table at the feet of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no better place for any of us to eat the bread of life than at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such humility amazed the Lord Jesus, and he said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it done unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was healed in that hour. Think of what the woman said. Lord, you told me the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But we may ask, as Pilate asked in John 18:38, what is truth? Jesus gave the definition of truth when he prayed to the Father in John 17, verse 17. Jesus said, thy word is truth. It sounds so simple. However, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans, the first chapter, the 25th verse, some have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What the Romans did is being done today. Morality and doctrine is not decided by the Word of God, but by the polls and by the denominational hierarchy. This is the reason we mention so many times the words of Peter in his sermon the day the church began. The inspired apostle said, repentance and baptism for the remission of sins. If I should leave out the word repentance, I would be changing the word of God for a lie. If I should leave out the word baptism for the remission of sins, again, I would be exchanging the truth of the word of God for a lie. Much of mankind seems to hate the truth of the word. And Jesus summed it up when he said to the scribes in John 8:45, because I say the truth, you believe me not. Many in the world hate the truth. Some may think we need a new message for this new age. However, we need to heed the plea in Psalms 100, the 5th verse. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. It is difficult to ignore the warning the Apostle Paul gave in the last words of his life when he wrote to Timothy, as well as all preachers of the word, in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. He said, Preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap unto themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn aside their ears from the truth unto fables. The itching ears statement reminds me one time in a checkout lane of a grocery store. I overheard a conversation of two ladies ahead of me. One said to the other, "My son tells me he has had the itch three times that summer, and he said he enjoyed it all three times." What better way to say it? People have ears that itch to hear sentimental, sad stories to make them feel inspired. And they want the preacher to scratch every Sunday their itching ears. And they enjoy it every time. We could add a postscript to this from Isaiah 30, the 10th verse, when Isaiah said, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit." That's what Isaiah said. We would say, ladies and gentlemen, I have enjoyed our little visit today with the woman who came out of the borders of Tyre and Sidon. She has taught us many things. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Tell somebody, somehow, and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.